Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The International Criminal Court, the world's first permanent war crimes court, was established 10 years ago. This week, its first case has opened. The accused is Thomas Lubanga, a leader of one of Congo's many rebel groups. Yesterday, he pleaded not guilty to systematically recruiting thousands of children under 15 into war. Anthony Dworkin is executive director of the Crimes of War Project, an independent group of journalists, lawyers, and scholars raising awareness of the laws of war, and he joins us now from Paris. Welcome, Anthony.
Thanks.
What kind of evidence do prosecutors have against Thomas Lubanga?
Well, they say that they have a lot of witnesses, and they also have this videotape evidence that was shown yesterday, a tape that shows the figure they identify as Lubanga addressing a group of new recruits, some of whom appear very clearly to be very young. And they're also saying they have a good number of people who are going to come and testify in person. So they believe they have a strong case. And, you know, I think that's very important because this is going to be a very widely watched case, the first case before this new and important judicial body.
Can you walk us through some of the horrendous allegations against him?
Well, he is on trial for the recruitment of child soldiers. And in a sense, the other allegations are kind of, as it were, supporting in the background. But he's on trial for recruiting child soldiers. And that in itself has been somewhat controversial because it's alleged that during the wars in Democratic Republic of Congo, there were a great number of atrocities committed. But because what they can prove clearly in this case is the use of child soldiers. That's what he's on trial for. So in a sense, you know, some people in Africa have been saying, look, you know, recruitment of child soldiers is actually pretty common in Africa. There are many worse allegations around. He should be on trial for them. But, you know, the context for this is that some of what the child soldiers were doing was to be involved in very brutal conflict where they were often killing civilians or having to witness rape or destruction on a wide scale. So that provides, as it were, the climate in which the prosecutor says the use of child soldiers was particularly bad.
And in terms of those victims that you just mentioned, are they represented and will they be testifying in court?
Yes, absolutely. This is one of the innovations of this court, the International Criminal Court, is that the victims have a kind of formal standing and they have the right to intervene in the processes, not merely, you know, as witnesses, but also to call people themselves. They have legal representation. So they are kind of a formal participant in the hearing, and that's a new thing in international criminal justice.
And Anthony, it's been 10 years since the treaty was established. Why did it take so long for the first trial to begin?
Well, it hasn't got off to a very speedy start. But, you know, we have to remember that the trial, the treaty was 10 years ago, but the court itself didn't come into being until a few years after that, and then it had to get up and running. And, of course, it relies on the compliance of states. It doesn't have a police force, so to some degree it's dependent on other countries' assistance in, helping with its investigations and then, above all, in getting hold of the people to try. And also, because it's a new system, there have been some teething problems, and particularly the prosecutor took, a very liberal interpretation of some of the provisions in the statute as far as gathering evidence, and that was then challenged successfully by the defense, and that threw things off for a while. So it's been a slow start, and I think it's up to the court now to really show that once the trial is underway, it can do justice and has justice seen to be done.
As you noted, there will be a lot of scrutiny as to how this works. How is this trial at the ICC different from the various tribunals that we've had, like those regarding former Yugoslavia or the Rwandan genocide?
Well, in a way, this court builds on the precedent set by the tribunals for Bosnia and Rwanda, which really brought the idea of international criminal justice back into the picture decades after the Nuremberg trials. But in some ways, the International Criminal Court is different. In one way, of course, it's a permanent court. Those courts were just set up on a temporary basis to deal with particular situations. And the idea here is that having a permanent body that's going to be there, ready and waiting from now on, is going to increase the deterrent effect of having the possibility of trials, and also, hopefully in the future, enable it to move more quickly. But the counterpart of that is that because it was set up by treaty and not by the Security Council, it's a less powerful body than the Yugoslavia or Rwanda tribunals. It can only gain jurisdiction over a case if the country is willing or if the Security Council gives it jurisdiction. And it defers to domestic courts. So if something is being tried domestically, then the International Criminal Court won't step in. It's a kind of international court of last resort to make sure that if these worst crimes are committed and the country or the international community is willing to bring the court in, then it'll stand there to make sure that accountability is seen to.
Speaking of less powerful, is the fact that the U.S. and China do not recognize the ICC, is that a problem for its credibility?
Well, I think it's definitely something of a problem. It's a problem that other countries as well, for instance, Russia and Israel, to name two more, are not parties. The court still, I think, could establish itself as a credible body. I think we've seen these cases now moving forward. There are a number more coming down the line. I think that the big drawback of having these countries not involved is that it gives it a sort of slightly selective aspect. And a number of African countries have been complaining, why are all the cases against Africa? Why aren't there cases against other countries? Now, of course, the Africans mostly have signed up to the court, so they've done so voluntarily. But even so, I think in the interests of moving towards the system of international justice that's really seen to be impartial and not to be, as it were, deferring to the powerful countries of the world, the more countries that join up, the better. And I
the
hope
better.
That under the new administration, the United States will look seriously at joining the court.
Anthony Dworkin, thank you. Anthony
thank
Dworkin
you.
Is executive director of the Crimes of War Project, giving us his thoughts on the very first trial at the International Criminal Court. Thank you. Lots of talk this week about nationalizing the banking system, having the government take ownership over U.S. banks in order to stabilize the economy. Is there anything you think the government should take over, Catherine Lanford?
I was just going to say, we should ask people, you know, is there something that you think the government could do a better job than the private sector? How about the phone company? Let's regulate airlines again, huh?
Charles writes an email and says, I would recommend that the government take over Congress. That way things will get done. Wait, they already have taken it over.
Oh, well. We've got to break this down for him.
Never mind, Charles writes. What do you think the government could do a better job at? Or what do you think the private sector could do a better job at than the government? Give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And here's a thought for your takeaway today.
The last time a president inherited an economy like this, what are they saying? It was back in FDR. And the last time they passed a stimulus like this was never. Nobody's ever done this before.
That's our friend Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection on what he described as a bustling and busy day on Capitol Hill. We're always on, and if you missed anything, like our interview with Todd Zwillick, take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or iTunes. I'm Adora Udoji. Catherine Lanford is in for John Hockenberry. Thank you, Catherine.
You're more than welcome. Happy to be here.
This is The Takeaway.